recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, May 10, 2026. Happy Mother's Day. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka le grand papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Episode 339. Today we'll be talking about getting old. Fuck it. Getting old. Actually, I'm going to talk about that pre-retirement workshop I attended, and I'll be summarizing day two, which pretty much was about getting old. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotables and some randomness. All right. Rated R. All right. Let's start with quotables. First one goes, I got a problem and a plan. Revolver in my hand. Trying to keep it cool, but y'all don't understand. That's how I wrote.
Message.
All right. That chorus was playing in my head frequently this week. Yeah. So is this. Well, not this chorus. This line. So many battlefield scars. While driving in plush cars. This life of a rap star is nothing without heart. Okay, it says guard, but I think it says heart, but whatever. It's nothing without heart. Was born rough and rugged, addressing the mad public. My attitude is fuck it. Motherfuckers love it. Love it. To be a soldier, must maintain composure at ease. Though life is complicated, only what you make it to be.
Message.
All right. Okay. All right. These next two quotes are not based on rap verse, but yeah. I hope beautiful things happen to you, and I hope I never doubt you deserve them. You know, I'm laughing because there was a time I would have said that quote with my whole chest. And when I read that, I couldn't stop thinking about the people I don't want this to apply to. I got a journey, man. I got journeys to, it's like when I think of humanity, I'm only able to remember the folks I don't like more than the people that I am rooting for. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's where I'm at in life. But you, dear listeners, I mean that for you. All right, last quote is, getting old is like climbing a mountain. You get a little out of breath, but the view is much better. Ingrid Bergman. All right, that's it for quotables. Let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Let's start with this one.
So you cannot tell me you have a male friend that if you were like, I want to fuck you right now, he would be like, no.
So I think that that is an awful viewpoint of men.
If their homegirl will bend over in front of them and pull down their pants, they will.
Dating men or engaging with men that have zero control is crazy because men do have actual
I've never
control.
Met so, one. Do you I know, agree. I've never been around never a, man a man in my life that says, hey, I'm sorry, I have a girlfriend. I have never heard a man, never in my life, say that. Ever in my life.
What? I don't doubt that this is this woman's lived experience, but I wish she had more male friends like Tony Baker.
All right. All right, for this one, I came on my timeline via Kev on stage. And he, I'm not going to share his... I replied to what he said and what both of them said with, let's be real. We don't need women defending us. We need to rethink what we call manhood. Most of us were taught that masculinity is measured by how many women we can sleep with. And many of us bought into it. I'm not surprised she's only known that type of man. All right, what made me respond to that is because just for context, what it is I'm not familiar with the podcast, but it's three women speaking to each other. And the first one you heard was just acknowledged that men will fuck anything, pretty much. The idea of men will fuck anything. And then the other two women were like, oh, man, they were like pushing back on what she was saying. And it wasn't an argument, but what I'm trying to acknowledge is I'm very sure that there are men who took offense to what she said, the first woman said. Let me be more specific. This is what I'm trying to get at. I appreciate Kev on stage acknowledging that that's her lived experience. And he is, it's like he's bothered by the fact that she hasn't been exposed to more positive or more, yeah, let's go with positive men. And I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about my reply and what he said is, I'm realizing the possibility that maybe I'm also one of those people who haven't been exposed to positive, wholesome men. I guess that's what I'm going to use the word wholesome men. My lived experience, I'm very familiar with those of us who grew up with the notion that being a real man is banging every girl you can. The poet Talon Macy, he's got a line he said. He goes, it's a rule. It goes, if it's easy and it's hot, then it's got to get got. Meaning, most of us males trying to live up to the idea of what it is to be a man were raised with the idea of fucking, you know what I mean? If the opportunity for sex presents itself, you go for it. There's no fucking excuse for it. That's why we are insensitive to stories of a hot teacher taking advantage of a young man. Because in our head, it's like, what the fuck? I wish that would happen to me. I mean, that, you know, it's, you know, what I'm trying to get at is, and this is, and I'm including, I grew up in the church. I grew up with, yes, get married and all that shit. But it was like, there was more sympathy for a man who cheated on his wife, than there would be on a woman who cheated on her husband. Meaning it was an understanding. It was like, okay, he cheated on you, but get over it. A man's going to be a man. You know what I mean? Like society has this idea that a man's going to be a man. Like, sure, you're in a monogamous relationship, but if he cheats, he's just a man being a man. And you know what? Okay, what makes this conversation, this message complicated is because I'm very fully aware that there are men who will hear this, and the first thought is, this nigga's virtual singling, or he thinks he's better than us, or he's just saying that to get laid. The worst part about it is, I'm not mad at you. I guess that's what I'm saying is, we don't even acknowledge how we have a negative perception of each other. I'm calling it as it is, but there's going to be a man who's like, ladies, don't listen to him. He's just trying to get laid. Or you're just trying to like, maybe I don't start to understand what virtual singing is, but you're just trying to make yourself look better than the rest of us. And my point is, I think we as men need to have a discussion on what do we consider masculinity outside of the realm of masculinity? Because right now, the definition we were given of masculinity is fucking toxic. It's us versus them being women. Like that's the conversation we need to have. And the other thing that inspired this conversation, this idea, this message is because Kev ends his message with, I mentioned that already, how he's disappointed that she hasn't been exposed to positive men. And my point is, are we really surprised? Are we really surprised? When you think about the men in your circles, the men at your barbershop, the men at your barbershop, the men you've been exposed to, are you really, like, maybe, you know what? Maybe benefit of the doubt. Maybe Kev on stage is one of those males, because I have seen that before. Maybe his presence, he's one of those men that the toxic men know better than to, like, let him know. Maybe he's the kind of guy who will shut you down if you say some ill shit about women. If you brag about how you cheated on your woman, and then, dog, that's foul. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not there yet. I guess it depends on the guy. If it's a close friend, I'm being like, yeah, that's some foul shit. But I do not entertain conversations of men bragging about cheating on their girl. But I have been in that situation where I was just like, keep your mouth shut, it's none of your business. I think what I'm trying to get at is the whole holding each other accountable. How does that look like? Think about it. If some dude was doing some quote unquote gay shit, we'd be on his ass. Think about how we react when a guy's doing something not considered masculine. What the fuck you doing crying? Okay, maybe we'll give that a pass. But think about the shit that we do that we have no problem showing any objection. Hey, you just said something that sounded kind of gay. And you didn't say no homo. Do you know what I mean? I mean, like, hey, you just allowed some dude to punk you and you didn't do anything about it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Think about the times where we automatically feel the need to correct each other. And think about the times when we don't. On the list of times we correct each other, never is, hey, don't call these women a bitch. We'll probably kick your ass. You'll probably see that. You're hitting on your woman, then yeah, well, we'll swarm you. There'll be that. But I'm trying to say that our nature ain't there. No, excuse me, wrong nature. Our nurturing. We need to check our nurturing. That's what I'm trying to say. A straight conversation about our nurturing. And maybe it's an individual thing. Is you need to decide the kind of man you want to be. And that's pretty much where I'm at. I've rejected, I guess I'm deconstructed. I think that's the word. I've rejected society's definition of masculinity and living my own life, living my own definition. And part of it is it's more acknowledging homegirls' lived experience and saying that we shouldn't be surprised. Stop being surprised. What's funny is how men, we will acknowledge our faults, just not in front of women. Which is cool as long as the faults are corrected. But when I posted that, I was worried about the potential backlash. Having, yo, this nigga's just trying to like virtual signal. It's like, fuck them. But I mean, but it's more like, see, you're part of the problem. You're not willing to entertain this conversation, or at least give it, like, consider what the fuck I'm saying. Anyway, I think where I'm getting at is I interpreted what he was saying as the equivalent of not all men. And I think if there's anything I'm targeting is the usual response by us. When a woman acknowledges their lived experience, and our first instinct is to be not all men. Which is cool, provided it's fucking true. Like, take the time to realize what she's saying and how real what she's saying is realistic. And you know what? The not all men response is bullshit. Because I know every guy, male friend, who ends up being a father to a daughter, the first thought that comes to mind is all the foul shit this poor young lady is going to have to put up with. You are fully aware of what no one is like. Oh, I can't wait for a guy to babysit her. You know what I mean? No one. You all, all of us are thinking about, oh, shit. Damn, little girl. There's an ugly world waiting for you out there. Anyway, that's it. I said my piece. I said my piece. If you got any comments about it, please holler at me. ShutUpPodcast.com. Email address is ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I grew up on food stamps with a single mom with four kids, clothes that never fit right, and then I went no contact with my parents the day after I graduated high school. And I have been completely on my own ever since. No financial support, no safety net, nothing. So when someone told me I had white privilege, I wanted to flip a table because I knew what my life had actually looked like, and privilege was not the word for it.
All right, I'm not going to play the whole clip, but I guess I should acknowledge the content creator's name is Academic Descent. It takes me a while to read these things. Yeah, Academic Descent. And homegirl actually, essentially what she does is explain how she went from that mindset to finally understanding what white privilege is. She's a white woman explaining where some white people get confused when they hear white privilege. So she went from a woman who didn't understand it to a woman who now understands it, which is an overall arching of this podcast. Being one person one day and being another person the next day. Not hypocrite. Growth. God damn it, growth. Growth. This is a clip about growth. And when I heard her, what she said, I replied in the comment section. It's like, I said, I was being a little smartass, but I said, no, this is what I said. I said, okay, so it is possible for white people to understand white privilege. The problem is I'm not the person who can explain it to them. And yes, that came out of all the frustration of every time that I've tried to explain it and I've attempted to explain it to a white person, and my words went on deaf ears. So there was a bit of frustration when I said that, but I was also acknowledging that white privilege is one of those things or one of those ideas that you gotta let a white person figure it out on their own. Because in the end, if you wanna know, you'll figure it out. There's only so much you could do. You can only take a horse to the water. You can't make them drink. You can't force them to understand. So I think it was great. It was a sense of hope. Give me hope. Okay, let me be fair. Yes, I'm fully aware there are white people who understand the concept of white privilege. I'm just saying they're not in the majority. We don't live in that majority. Yeah, you know what's a heartbreak is you watch videos like these, you listen to people like Academic Descent, and then you go into the real world and you meet real white people. And they're like, "What are you gonna be about race?" Oh fuck, you're behind. Holy shit, you got a lot of education you need to go through. And but yeah, but at the same time, I'm also acknowledging that I'm inspired. I'm inspired by people who are able to listen to other people's experience. I think that's where I'm going with all this. This is what, no, real I'm trying to get at, is their ability when a human being is able to learn from the experience of someone else. I'm not giving you a cookie of participation to white people for doing that, but I am acknowledging that it's one of those human accomplishments that's not spoken about enough. Like even me, I used to be the oh my God, I used to be the unenlightened male about women. The previous randomness clip. But with the woman who was saying that I can't, you know, I don't trust. A man will take the opportunity. If you give a man the opportunity, he will try to fuck you. I was one of those guys. I used to have a female friend, a female friend. And my intention was, like, it was friends. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, you're just playing hard to get. I didn't respect that boundary. I didn't, in my mind, I was convinced that, what's that Chris Rock joke? He goes, oh, fuck. Whatever he fucks up, I'm in there. Anyway, he jokes about how, you know, waiting for her guards to be down and then boom, I'm in there. And the point where I'm going with this, the reason I was like that is because back then women were not, the humanity, it's like I was only able to acknowledge the humanity of other males, but I couldn't do it for women. Like women were, back then, were something for consumption. Were like, you were everything but human. You were like Kingsmaker. You were source of validation. There was, you know what I mean? It's like, and also I want to get props from my peers. If I get to bang you, I get to tell my homies that I did it. So I'm talking about two things here, growth and also the ability to learn from other people's experience. And the experience is being able to listen to, being able to listen to members of the LGBTQ community and why shit like, oh, that's why you don't find trans joke funny. That's why it's not funny for you. Just like, I'm being a dreamer again. It's like, this is not my Martin Luther King, I have a dream speech. But the idea of human beings learning from the experience of other human beings, or I'm gonna go open your third eye conspiracy, but the elites can't use our differences against us, because right now we live in a world that it's so easy to pit a group against another group. Men, you're superior to women. White, superior to white, to blacks. Hetero, superior to everyone else. Cisgender, superior to non-binaries. Is that the opposite? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you think about, in the book by Trevor Noah, which book was it again? Something about Born Illegal? Let me get this straight. Book by Trevor Noah, Born a Crime book. Born a Crime. Hey, my brain works. All right. I'm able to remember. Yeah, Born a Crime. He talks about how he opens up with the biggest genius by the Brits, whatever, one of those European countries, is how they were able to show up to a country as a minority, to rule a minority ruling the majority, and what they did is divide and conquer. They thought, oh, this is what, okay, you got the Zulus and another tribe, and then let's have them beefing together. Divide and conquer. And look, man, we're a long way before I have a dream that humanity will get to the point where our differences can't be used against us. They got to use something else. They got to have more advanced technique. But right now, it's so easy to pit a group of human beings against each other. Nadu, all right. Yeah, where was I? Yes, white privilege. Yeah, so shout out to homegirl and her reveling. And shout out to homegirl for being able to understand white privilege.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I know everyone's adding Spirit Airlines to your resumes right now. Like me personally, I've been working at Spirit Airlines for over 2 years now as the head of marketing. And now that they shut down, I am looking for new employment. But can we not all be the head of marketing at Spirit Airlines? Like, it doesn't sound believable, guys. Like, stop stealing my shit. Someone has to be the janitor. Okay, who's going to be the janitor? You are not the head of marketing for over 2 years. I am. Get your own shit. Stop stealing my job.
Her name, content creator's name is Maple Butter Roll. Cute. Anyway, yeah, shit made me laugh. This is the only reason it's a randomness. The shit just made me laugh. And also to acknowledge the fact, this used to be a news you could use segment. Yeah. Oh, Spirit Airlines going bankrupt. That's fucked up. Right. What do I care? Spirit Airlines is an American company. What's the equivalent of Spirit Airlines in Canada? But whatever, man. It is. I'm putting myself down as head of IT. Someone put cloud architecture. I'm like, fuck, he beat me to it. Someone in the comments put cloud architecture, something, something. I'm like, man, I wish I would have been that clever. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it for randomness. That's it. Okay. We're done with randomness, quotable irrandomness. Let's jump into final thought. But before we do that, you know what? We're going to take a quick break. The title of today's episode might be Close to the Edge Part 3, meaning following the series of, you know what? Why not? Why the fuck not? And the reason why is because when I first started out with Close to the Edge, it was to talk about my mental health. Actually, it was in response to my mental health. And also, in response to my employer sending out an email to acknowledge the fact that May 4th to May 10th is Mental Health Week. And that's decided by, who is it? Mental Health Week by CMHA. What does that stand for again? Doesn't matter. The link will be in the links will be in the show notes. So from May 4th to May 10th. Yeah, right. So she sent out an email acknowledging mental health. And in that email, she added how, oh, some of you might be feeling lonely. So that's why you should come in. She didn't use these words, but essentially is there was an agenda. She was also pushing for, she also added how we need, there's a big debate about the whole checking into the office, working in the office versus the hybrid model we had going for. Look, work is pushing this whole everyone work from an office now, checking inside the office. And to me, that's a big contradiction to the idea of preserving mental health. But that's another discussion. Anyways, but she's, and I'm sure she sees the contradiction, or they see, excuse me, the employer, the contradiction. But so in her message, she had a talk about how some of you folks might be lonely and that's not good for your mental health. So we should work together. You know, like I think it was a silent push for return to the office. So that was Close to the Edge 1. Close to the Edge 2 was, I forget, but I remember I started talking about, damn, I already forgot. But I know in 2, I talked about this pre-retirement course that I was taking, workshop that I attended. And it was, and I was talking about day one, day one, it was mainly a conversation about finances and retirement money and whatever, all that shit, right? But I remember it was difficult for me to follow at first because all I could think about is, damn, man, I'm that guy now. I'm whatever, right? So, Close to the Edge 3 is to talk about day 2 of the course, the last 2 days. And day 2, we talked about, it started with estate planning your estate, psychology of retirement, and health and nutrition, yada, 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 and all that shit, right? Anyways, the first, I'm going to start with the planning your estate course. So I would have sent a shout out to the presenter of the estate course. She was a lawyer from Toronto, and she was fucking hilarious. But that's not her biggest claim to fame for me. It was more how she jumped into the topic and ripped that Band-Aid off. She didn't give a fuck if you weren't trying to think about planning your estate. It's amazing. So she was just giving us tips, advice about, you know, getting your shit in order before you die. And she joked about, homegirl could have been stand-up, right? But she had a point about how if you go to your grave and you don't have a will or haven't settled any of that shit, she goes, I'm the winner in this shit. Picture me swimming in money when you do that. Your family ain't getting shit. Right. So she sold me on the idea that of, yo, get your shit in order. Have your will prepared. I don't know if it's got to be notarized, but get your a legitimate take the steps you need so when you die, everything is handled. Because the last thing you want is the government to handle or some judge to handle that shit for you. Right. Now, in my case, I don't have any kids. I'm the only people who are going I'm going to pass all my shit to is like my younger relatives. Yeah, I might have to pick one and let them distribute the most honest one and let them. I don't have a lot of assets to give out, but still, I get it. Whatever, right? And, right. The other thing, the reason I appreciate about this presenter is it was a difficult conversation to have. Towards the end, she was saying, and her and this other person in the group, they were talking about how, oh, one person was saying, yo, this is, and they're right, this shit should have been taught to us in high school. But the problem is, teaching this kind of topic in high school, there's no way most of us would have taken that concept seriously. I'm 51. I'm talking about, even I had difficulty absorbing this material because I was still in, I'm going to live forever mindset. In my mind, I'm still immortal. I still have the mindset of a child and I'm like, thinking about death, fuck that. But luckily, you know, I working out life insurance and she talked about, she demystified everything. Anyways, I appreciated the session because she was hilarious. It was a difficult topic. Right. This is the point I was saying is where I was getting at is the humor is what made the topic bearable. But the other thing too is that I appreciate about her session is it made me realize how much I did not know about what happens to you when you die. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about the people, the your loved ones have to deal with when you're dead. The inconveniences. If you don't take care of it before, then there's a shitload of inconveniences for them. And right. And she was surprised that not more people have this conversation with each other. And it was a difficult conversation to have. I was feeling uncomfortable with the discussion, but at the same time, I started to think about all those times I've lectured white people or I've mean mugged white people because they were unwilling to have a conversation about race. I'm over here unwilling to have a conversation about death. What happens to you when you die? You know, it's not, I'll be honest with you, it's not necessarily just me. I can handle that. It was more the idea of when your parents die. I'm like, fuck, I don't have to talk to them about, let's just wrap it up. Let's just, can we like fast forward to the funeral portion? It's going to get ugly. I can see it getting ugly. You know what? I'm not going to bring up family drama, but I'm just going to say that, oh, man. Having to talk to the people that you didn't want to talk to. Anyways, so, yeah. You would think a preacher's kid would be familiar with. This was funny. Estate planning? I'm a preacher's kid. I didn't know shit about that. When I think of death, the only thing that comes to mind is, what font size are we going to use for the program? Are we going to have a DJ present? Are we just going to have a choir? Which song? Like, when I think of death, it's just, this is for my homies. But nah, man. There's the will. There's the funeral arrangements. There's, oh, and those shit aren't cheap. If this motherfucker did not have life insurance, this shit... Yeah, man, they take advantage of the fact that, hey, you're not going to be back. Capitalism. Funerals aren't cheap. And if you don't have any life insurance, shit. I got a box. You can put your relatives in, but then where are you going to bury them? Cremate them. What are you going to douse some gasoline on them? Nah, you got to use our ovens. Yeah, it is what it is. It look, My first therapist noticed that about me. She said, you seem to be very uncomfortable around the concept of death. And I thought, since that observation, I had gotten better until I got to this session about planning your estate. Anyways, but I got through it. I just know that, thank you, I got my marching orders. I don't know if you've heard of, there's a site called Willful. It's an online, it's a place where you can register your will online and save some money on a lawyer. And I got to read the details because the lawyer was like, me and my homies don't trust that site. We don't, whatever. She was speaking against it, but she was like, I don't know. Like, there's a chance a judge might be like, what the fuck is it? Anyways, but I got to look into it. But I did read somewhere that Willful is for people who have, like, simple lives. Like, you don't need to, like, spread, I have this asset in Belize that I want to give to my nephew. I want this, blah, 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 you know, like, and I don't want my, and if my wife is with some new nigga, she don't get shit, you know what I mean? Like, if you got complicated things like that, yeah. You know, that's the other thing, too, I notice about this course is that, okay, let me, before I get to that, right, is, let me get to, so, there was three sessions. There was, like I said, planning your estate, psychology aspect of retirement, and health and nutrition. I remember joking about how thinking, we should start with psychology first. I had it wrong. Yo, those last two sessions were fucking depressing. I was near tears. I was depressed near tears. It's funny. The first lady had us laughing instead. And then you come to the next two who took the topic really seriously. And the thing is, they weren't intending to make you cry, but it was, they have you thinking about shit that you've been repressing for a while. Things like, what happens to you after you retire? I remember watching this TV series. I don't know if it was an article or a TV series of some dude retires and he kills himself. And I guess I was too young to understand why, but now I get it. Because you start asking questions like, who the fuck am I? Once you stop working, the day after retirement, first of all, you turn off your alarm clock. Your routines are all over. And it's not, maybe you've gotten used to the idea of being on vacation, sure, not having to wake up. But when you realize this is it, this lifestyle of not working, this is it. Who are you? Being able to answer that question. And the wild part about me asking this question, well, two things. One is I've already had my moment of existential questioning. That's why I went into therapy. Two, but the wild part is, compared to most everyone in that class, in that workshop, I think I've had it the easiest. Meaning, I was surrounded by folks who were married, divorced, going through a divorce, kids. Like, their life was complicated. And there was this one guy he talked about. He mentioned how he was asking questions during the planning your estate sessions. Actually, he brought it up from the beginning. He was saying, he goes, okay, he self-disclosed. He goes, yeah, so I'm in the middle of a divorce. And he underlined that it's amicable. Problem is, anytime you tell someone you're in the middle of divorce, no one believes it's amicable. No one believes, you know what? Most people don't have an image of an amicable divorce, because if you're not familiar with divorce, or if you've only been exposed to, I know there's such a thing as amicable divorce. I have a friend who's been like that. But for the most part, when you picture a divorce, you picture two sides, two lawyers, and you fuck that bitch. You don't get shit. Fuck that nigga. We're taking everything. A hussy clause. But yeah, anyways. But you know, it's never friendly. Yo, man, I'm taking all the kids. You ain't getting shit. I'm, you know, it's always combative. Oh, my point is, when he said it's amicable, I think a lot of us were like, nigga, please. I can hear you wanting to call her a bitch. But okay, sorry. Kidding aside. But it was a guy, he was mentioning how he was in the middle of a divorce. And he was just asking a question. Some question his wife asked him and he found weird, whatever. But that's not the point. My point is, when we got to the psychology aspect, he was saying how, yo, the kids are grown. I'm not sure if they're in no contact, but I got a sense that he doesn't see him as much as he would like to. He doesn't see his grandkids as much as he wants to. And he's in the middle of a divorce. And he's like, he's having that moment of, who am I? And then now retirement hits him. What's going on? And I was like, you poor bastard. Dude, it's hopeless for you. And what I mean by it's hopeless for you, it's because I'm saying this for men. I remember reading some study, whatever, about how the toll divorces take on men. And it's not a poor men shit, no, but it's the challenges men have when they go for a divorce. I'm not talking about the court part. I'm talking about the psychology aspect. Because we don't do the vulnerable shit. We don't do the, let me analyze my feelings. Let me, like, process this shit. It's like, I'm just going to the gym. I'm just going to drink the pain away. You know what I mean? Like, we don't do any of that shit. And shout out to one of the homegirls, this homegirl in the class, that she shared a link. And it was meant to be, like, a community for men who are going through, not midlife crisis, but who are, like, it was supposed to be a community for men to, like a brotherhood to work out with each other and things like that. Like, and she goes, yeah, this is for the fellas. Like, he would have benefited from that. I actually wanted to say to the guy, but I knew it wasn't my place. I didn't know him enough, but I was hearing all the symptoms he was putting out. And I said, bro, therapy. Going to therapy. It's not a diss. It's like, there's no fucking way you're going to be able to handle this transition. The way you're talking right now, you need to talk to a therapist. Male, female, whatever the fuck. But I wasn't going to tell him that because some dudes take offense to the idea of, what am I, weak? So I didn't bother. I'm like, if you make it, I'll be surprised. If you don't do something wild, if you don't get into another shitty relationship, if you don't, like, blow your brains out, whatever the fuck, I'll be surprised. I don't know this dude, but the only thing that I knew is he was in a bad place. I could sense he was in a bad place, and he needed help, someone to talk to. And it wasn't going to be me. But yeah, no, it is, I think for me, I lucked out. I lucked out in a sense that besides going for therapy, is I befriended a woman. it's kind of interesting how life turned out, right? As I became more enlightened and realized that, oh wow, women are human beings too. But it was more. I also reached a point where I could value friendship. So I lucked out in a sense that I became friends with a woman who I was able to be vulnerable with. We can have discussion. And that's the thing too. That's the advantage women have over men is women have this shit figured out. They got their own support system. They got their own support system. Shit that we... This is like healing. They have advanced knowledge in healing. Us, we are like fucking grade one. The only thing we know about healing is how to spell the word. But actually healing, wait, you mean cry? You want me to cry? You know what I mean? Anyways, that's why I personally would not join a all-male support group because I'm skeptic. I'd be skeptic. I'd be like, it's very rare that I've, there's something about other men that makes me feel that I have to keep my guards up. I'll laugh, I'll crack jokes, I can be friendly and everything like that, but I never feel comfortable revealing my true self. The funny part, I'm a hetero male, and I'm worried about showing my true self to other men. Women on the, okay, I say women, but yeah, but the times I felt like I could put my guards down has usually been around a woman. Yeah, go figure. You know what I mean? It's anyway, there's a lot. We got a lot to learn from. But you know what? And the thing too is, I know it's not uncommon, especially with Booba, it's not uncommon. There's a lot of men out there who are going to go in, who are getting older, and it's like, shit, I can't go to the clubs. I could go to the strip club, but I kind of look creepy. I can't go to the strip club because now when I see these girls, I think of, fuck, I think I know your dad. I think I know your parents. Shit. I think I know your grandparents. It's fucked up now. It's, I don't feel that comfortable here. Anyway, yeah. So, those last two sessions, psychology aspect and health. In the health section. Oh my God. Homegirl, we're actually having a conversation about how to detect dementia. And what fucked me up in this conversation, and we weren't saying how to detect dementia in your parents. We're saying, how could you tell if you're the one going through dementia? We're having that conversation now. I might be the dude who's having, oh my, it was killing me. I remember she was saying something, and I was thinking of a joke, or I was thinking of a thought. I had a thought, and I remember she was in the middle of explaining how Alzheimer's, how we lose our memory and stuff like that. And it made me think of, oh shit, made me think of a line. And I wanted to write down that thought on my phone. I pick up my phone and I can't fucking remember why I picked it up. While she's explaining, and then Alzheimer, you forget. I started to freak out. Hey, that's it. That's it. I'm losing it. Thank God the idea came to me. But I remember that moment of forgetting, freaking out, and then being like, oh, okay, I got it. But I'm at that age. I'm at that. Yo, all this to say that there was one thought that I will say. Well, this is the last line. I'm going to end with this, right? There was this one line is the whole session, part of the reason I was depressed is aside from having to deal with aging parents and aging myself, it was the overall idea that it's only downhill from here. I used to be a believer in the best days are yet to come. Like, how the fuck am I going to live my best days as an old person? That's the part that was depressing. It was just like, it's from now on, it's just waiting for the grave. It's just downhill until you get to the grave. That's the part that depressed me. But at some point in that day, there was a small voice that came out. A small voice, and I was shocked by it. I didn't even listen to it, but it was a small voice that was like, what if it's still possible to live, to age and live out the best days of your life? And not some bullshit, not some like, hey grandma, you're in, you know what I mean? Not that bullshit that you tell your grandparents, but I mean for you to be like, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe. I mean, you know, I'm like, I don't think that fantasy of doing two chicks at the same time is ever going to happen without paying for it. Even if it does happen, only one of those ladies will be satisfied. It's not like in my mind, I used to fantasize the idea that, you know, two chicks at the same time and they both satisfied. They both like, oh, that, treating me like black dynamite. Nah, man. It's going to be like, I'm done. You two ladies, talk amongst yourselves. I'll be asleep. Oh, let me turn on my CPAP machine. anyway, sorry. Let me be serious. Yes, I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I am playing with the idea, with the possibility that it's not over yet. It's still possible to age and live out your best days. I mean, I'm saying it. It's the believing part I'm struggling with. That's where I'm at. This is my, yeah, I think I will make it edge close to the edge because it's fucking depressing. It can't be over because if it is, I'm like, let's just wrap it up. I mean, you know, that's the easiest way to I'm putting that on my, Notarizer? No, I mean, like, yeah, man, pull the plug. Anyways, that's it. Was that depressing? Was that depressing? But whatever, man. It's life. It's fucking life. It is what it is. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. So much for making it a short episode, but whatever, 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 man. I always amaze myself at my ability to talk. I'll start an episode being like, I don't think I have enough content. I don't think this will last a whole 30 minutes, but here we am. Here we am. All right. This concludes today's episode. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast41@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent Hold It Down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent a Hold It Down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F was for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be that with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.